tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. Great seeing you guys. For those who will be joining us later on through our podcast, I want to say welcome to you. You can check out the podcast every week at nextlevelchurch.net or by subscribing through iTunes. Today, we are concluding our series entitled Functional Family. And one thing that every single one of us has in common is we all have family. Something else that we have in common is that every family has at least some degree of dysfunction in it. We don't like to talk about the dysfunction. We want to ignore it, pretend that it's not there. But every single family has some issues. And what we've tried to do in this series is to give some practical tools, some practical ideas that if you apply them, they can instantly help your family, no matter what family you come from. And on week one of this series, we talked about that because we all drift, because we all lean towards dysfunction, you need to set a goal, and that is focus on what matters most. Find out what matters most in your life, and then just do that a lot. You can work backwards. Once you discover what matters most, you then ask the question, how do I get there? How do I do that all the time? If you want to live a life with very few regrets, focus on what matters most, and then do that over and over again. The truth is, all of us are prone to wonder. We're all prone to get distracted. We need a goal. We need something to focus on. And if you're here today and you're a Christian, what we learned in week one of the series is that what matters most to Christians is to love Jesus, love people, and make a difference. That's what matters most. So if that matters most, we need to do that a lot. And that led to our big idea for week number one. Week one's big idea was experience what you know about God. God is not meant just to be heard about. He's not meant just to be talked about. God is meant to be experienced. And oftentimes when it comes to our families, we think if I just say this to them, if I just teach them this lesson, if I just say this phrase, then it's going to fix all the issues. But if you're here today and you're a parent, you know there are certain things you say to your kids and 5 minutes later it's like they didn't hear you. Anyone relate to that? All right, you speak these same things over and over again, and yet we think, well, I told them this lesson, I lectured them, I told them what to do, that's all they need. It's not all they need. Kids especially need experiences, and not just to hear it, they need to experience it. And so if what matters most to a Christian is loving Jesus and loving people, then we need to put our families around those experiences on a regular basis. Some of you maybe can relate to this. There was something that I was told on a regular basis from my dentist. Every 6 months, I visit my dentist, and my dentist would tell me for years that I needed to floss. And for the first 35 years of my life, I ignored this advice. Here's what I would do when it would come to the dentist. I would wait until the week before my dentist appointment, and then I would floss every day, try to fool them into thinking that I floss on a regular basis. And when I would show up to the dentist, I never fooled them. They always knew. But it was less pain on me because they didn't have to do as much work because my gums were, you know, I worked them out during the week. Now, I will say that I'm 41 years old and I've yet to have a cavity. So I've got that going for me. But I did not have this whole flossing thing down. It wasn't until I turned 35 and I experienced something at 35 that radically changed my life. When I was 35 years old, I had a dentist appointment already set up. It was set up from my previous appointment 6 months earlier. I had forgotten that this dentist appointment ended up being the day after I got back from vacation. When I packed for vacation, I wasn't thinking about the dentist, and so I did not pack any dental floss because I don't normally floss my teeth. So I went this whole 6 months without flossing, and then the week before when I'm supposed to be prepping, I didn't have any floss to prep. So I showed up to the dentist thinking, surely it can't be that bad. Can I just tell you, it was horrible. It was a mild form of torture. They brought out this like water pick. It was like a pressure washer for your gums. And it brought me to tears. Like I was gripping the side of the seat. I felt like my gums were giving birth. It was horrible. It was such a traumatic experience. It was so bad that when they got done, I said, from this moment on, no one will have to tell me to floss because I will floss like a boss every single day. And from that moment on, from 35 up until today, I floss regularly. Why? Is it because my dentist told me to? No, I ignored them for 35 years. It's because I experienced something that changed my behavior. Experiences are what changes. And so if you want to raise a family and help your family get out of the dysfunction, you've got to help them experience God on a regular basis. And that led us to week number two. Week two's big idea was behaviors only exist in the systems that support them. Behaviors only exist in the systems that support them. All of us have some areas of our life that we want to change, but the reason that we don't change is because we don't have a system. What is a system? A system is a process. It's a procedure that you follow over and over again. If you want to change something about your family or about your life, you can't just talk about it. You have to implement a new system. And I want to speak just quickly to married couples. If you're here today and you are a married couple, just by being married, it's not going to keep you bonded together. In fact, the longer you are together, the greater chance you have for separation. Great marriages don't happen accidentally. They happen intentionally. And if you want to have a great marriage, it involves a system. There are certain things that you need to put into a system like a regular date night. I don't know about you, but if I don't plan it, it doesn't happen. And you need a time, a regular basis, whether it's once a month or twice a month, where you two can bond and get together and look at each other in the eyes without kids, and you can build your relationship, a system of a regular plan. We're going to do this once a month, twice a month, whatever the system is. You have to schedule it and plan it to help you bond. My very first year of marriage, I heard a study that talked about the difficulties of intimacy in a marriage relationship. And one of the stats that was shared is that 47% of married couples say they have intimacy two times or less a month. Two times or less a month. What I heard from this lecture that I was a part of is that if you wanted to up and increase your levels of intimacy with your spouse, that you needed to make sure that you go to bed at the exact same time. And so they said that if you want to increase intimacy, just go to bed. Set a bedtime and go to bed with each other. Now, this is difficult for me and my wife because I fall asleep at 10 p.m. whether I need to or not. My wife could stay up till midnight every single night. So it was difficult for us to go to bed at the exact same time. But we said, okay, if that is what it takes, according to research and counselors, if that helps bond a couple and keep couples intimate, then we will do this. And I'm sharing you this fact because when you create a system and you follow it, good things happen. So that's my point. My point is, if you want something in your marriage or your relationship, you can't just hope that it's going to happen. You can't just talk about it. You have to implement a system. And how do you know if the system is working? You get the results that you're looking for. On week three, we talked about the big idea was functional families are built on care and candor. Functional families are built on care and candor. As human beings, we are wired towards one or the other. Some of us tend to be more on the care side. Some of us tend to be more on the candor side. But a functional family needs both care and candor. Care without candor leads to dysfunction. And candor without care leads to distance. We need both care and candor in a relationship. Candor is telling the truth. It's having hard conversations. If you can't be honest with one another in your family, it will create a distance. But at the exact same time, we have to be gentle with one another and care for one another. We need high degrees of care with high degrees of candor. Well, today our big idea to close out the series is this. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this down. Functional families seek help before they become dysfunctional. Functional families seek help before they become dysfunctional. And our scripture that's going to guide us comes from the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It helps us learn how to think more like God and ultimately how to react and act more like God wants us to act. One of the main amazing things about the book of Proverbs is there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. So if you've never read the Bible or you're intimidated to read it, Proverbs is a great place to start because it's just a book of wisdom and you can read a proverb a day, one day for every day of the month. Just start at one on March 1st and read all the way through. There's 31 days and I highly recommend it. It's a great book. And in this, we're going to see our main idea come to life, and it's going to guide us through our time. But at Next Level, we honor the text, and we do that by standing to our feet and reading it nice and loud. So I want to invite you to stand up and read with me Proverbs 20, verse 5. When we get to the reference, which is Proverbs 25, you'll see two dots. We like to have a little bit of fun, and we put our arms into it, and we say, dot, dot. You're welcome to join us in on that fun if you want. Will you read it with me nice and loud? It says, "The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out." Proverbs 20, dot, dot, 5. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. Will you pray with me? God, we come before you today, and every single one of us needs to hear from you. And so we ask, God, that you would help us to hear not what we want to hear, but what we need to hear. And we ask, God, that you would soften our hearts so we could hear from you. Whenever you speak, God, we often become afraid. So would you give us the courage to obey you? And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So our big idea for today is functional families seek help before they become dysfunctional. One of the reasons why so much dysfunction exists in our families is because when it comes to the family, we don't like to admit that we have issues. We all say, yeah, I'm not perfect, but outwardly, we want people to think we have a better family than what we actually do. We don't like to advertise the drama that's in our family. We don't like to advertise the issues that are in our family. In fact, a lot of us like to keep things close to our chest when it comes to our family. We don't want to talk about the problems. We don't even want to admit that we have problems. And so often what happens is we wait until the dysfunction has piled up, until it's a big mess, and then we say, okay, this is way too big for my pay grade. Now I have this huge mess. She said she wants a divorce. The kid said he's thinking of suicide. There's these big issues that come about, and when the big issues happen, then we say, okay, let me go seek some help. But what if we could change our mindset? And what if instead of saying, I'm going to wait for the huge, massive amounts of dysfunction to happen, what if we could just say, you know what? When I have a level 2 issue, I'm going to seek some help. That is someone that can help me figure this out. I'm not going to gossip to someone. I'm not going to look to someone that can't help me. But I'm going to find someone that can help me figure out this little issue so that it doesn't one day become a big issue. Our verse for today from Proverbs 25, it says, the purposes of a person's heart are deep waters. It's this idea that there is a well, and at the bottom of the well is water. And you know that the water exists, but to get it, you need to draw the water out. As human beings, we are incredibly simple creatures with complex emotions. We only need a few things as humans. We need air, we need some food. There's just a few things that we need in order to live. But our emotions are really hard to process. And so we're simple creatures, but we have these big emotions that oftentimes we don't know why we do what we do. We know we get upset, but we don't even know why. Why did that upset me so much? Why did I react that way? Why am I bent that way? Why do I lean that way? Why do I do the things that I do? It is often difficult to figure this out. The purposes of a person's heart, they're deep waters. They're hard to figure out. The next part of the verse says, but one who has insight draws them out. One who has insight. That there are certain people who have insight into our emotions, into our feelings, and they can help draw them out. This is one of the big reasons why I'm a huge fan of seeing a Christian counselor. I think that Christian counselors do the exact thing that this verse is talking about. They help draw out these big emotions. They help explain the emotions that are going on inside of us. And I'm not too proud to admit that I've seen on multiple occasions a Christian counselor. To me, counseling is the exact same thing as getting work done on your car. When my car starts to have an issue, I go to take it to someone. And when I take it to a mechanic, I'm not embarrassed by that. Like, I don't go at midnight and hide that from people and like, duck my head in and say, I hope no one sees that my car needs some work. I'm so ashamed. No, I drive a 2004 Honda Civic. It's always falling apart. As soon as a light comes on, as soon as something breaks, I take it to someone who can actually help fix the problem. If you wait until the problem becomes too massive and the car breaks down, it's on the end of the road, it's going to cost you a lot more than if you just worked on it a little bit at a time. And it's the same thing with our families and with our own lives. If we wait until the dysfunction is so huge, it is so much harder for someone to help us clean up the mess. But if we would go and just say, okay, hey, I have a level 4 issue, I have a level 5 issue, I have a level 2, it's not, we're not talking about divorce, but we just have a problem that we can't overcome. There's just something we don't agree on. If we would view counselors like mechanics for our brains, then I think that we would help solve a lot of our problems. And so today we're going to mix things up a little bit, and I'm going to introduce someone that is a professional Christian counselor. Shelby is from Genesis Counseling, and it is her full-time job to help people and help situations. And I want you guys to hear from her, and so I'm going to interview her. Would you help me welcome Shelby to the stage today? And Shelby, you are from Genesis Counseling, which my family has benefited greatly from Genesis. I've been to Genesis personally. Both my kids have been to Genesis from time to time. But tell me a little bit about what you do at Genesis.
Sure. So I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist at Genesis. We have licensed professional counselors, psychologists, licensed clinical social workers, and that speaks to our training. But what all of us do is we try to help people who are dealing with individual issues, family issues, and once you come into the room, we're all Christian counselors, and we're just there to help with whatever you have going on.
Yeah, that's great. So I don't know if you experience this. I don't know if people reveal this to you when they see you. But on my end, I hear a lot from people that say that they're nervous or they're scared or they give reasons why they don't want to see a counselor. What are some reasons that you hear people don't want to come see a counselor?
So first of all, I just want to say I think it's normal to be nervous. As human beings, we're nervous when we're doing anything new. But I also think that sometimes counseling is portrayed as this intimidating process. I know when I watch television or see media images of counseling, I'm always thinking to myself, no, don't show it that way. No one will ever want to come and get help. So I think people are afraid that the counselor will be kind of in that sort of gotcha mode. Oh, what do you mean by that? Or would be judgmental or be harsh with them. And fortunately, that's not the truth. We care about people. That's why we do what we do. And our first priority when you come into the room is to help you feel comfortable with us.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm glad you brought up television and movies, because one thing that I was surprised to find when I first went to see a counselor is they didn't have a couch and I didn't lay on it.
No. I mean, you could if you wanted to lay on the couch, but most people don't, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You can sit however you want to.
That's right. So one of the things that, one of the fears that I've heard from people, especially from Christians, maybe that they're new to the church or maybe they've even been burned by the church or that kind of thing, is they're afraid to go see a Christian counselor because they're worried that there's no science behind it. Like they think, I believe in the Bible and I'm not opposed to having the Bible help me figure out things, but I need something more. I want to make sure there's science, there's research behind it. So tell me a little bit, since you're Christian-based, is there science behind what you do?
Absolutely, and that's really important to us. I want everyone to know that the training we receive as Christian counselors is the same in terms of how long we go to school, the theories we study, the research we read. We spend the same amount of time getting our license, and all those requirements are the same. Science is an important part of counseling because that's how we can learn what works. The difference for Christian counseling is that we integrate our belief in God and our spiritual philosophies into the counseling room with people. And just a, sort of a side note, sometimes we serve people who aren't Christian. And I think also for us at Genesis, I know sometimes we have a conversation and say, we feel like there's an extra pressure on us to make sure that we really embrace the science and the study of counseling because we want to honor God in what we do. And we don't want anyone to be able to discount our expertise based on we're not well researched enough or scientific enough. So we feel it's in all the above.
Yeah, that's good. How can seeing a counselor help families?
First of all, I want to thank you for encouraging people to seek help before the car is fully broken down and needs a new motor, so to speak. Yeah. That said, it's never too early to come in to counseling and it's never too late. But the kind of things that we typically help families with are marital issues, so like communication problems, feeling that folks have grown apart, difficulty managing conflict, parenting issues, adjusting to life changes, and then, of course, individual issues that someone may come in with. So we see families, but we see individuals as well. And one of the things that's sort of a saying is that a family is only as healthy as its sickest member, meaning, you know, if somebody in the family is struggling, the family is struggling. And so we want to help whoever needs it the most in the family as a whole.
Yeah, yeah. So my daughter was born with anxiety and worry, and we've tried to read and try to figure out a lot of ways to help her. But one thing that I didn't know until we started taking her to see someone at Genesis is on a regular basis, she would have these stomach issues. And so we would take her to the doctor to say her stomach hurts. And the doctor would say, well, there's nothing wrong with her stomach. And so we couldn't figure it out. And it wasn't until we got her to see a counselor that we learned that her stomach issues were actually related to what was going on in her mind, into anxiety. And so I love what you said about that you help individuals and families, and we don't have to wait until there's a big meltdown. We can go just say, hey, I don't know, something's going on. I need a little bit of help with that. That's great. So what would you say to someone who was afraid to go see a Christian counselor?
Well, I want to reiterate that it's normal to be afraid to go to counseling the first time, especially since most of us have seen some pretty inaccurate and unflattering portrayals of what the counseling process is like. One of the things I encourage everyone to remember is that counselors, you know, as counselors, we go into this because we care about people and we want to be helpful. So, you know, earlier at the 8 o'clock, someone was speaking about a fear of being judged, and I thought, oh, yeah, of course, people are afraid of that. But it caught me by surprise, silly enough, because it honestly, it just doesn't occur to me to sit there and be judgmental of people who come in for help. And I would venture to say that that's pretty common. So if you're afraid of being judged, we're not there for that. And if you're afraid of maybe the logistics of it, like, you know, is my insurance going to pay for this? How will I get, you know, there outside of work hours? Or, you know, how does this whole thing work? I would just encourage you to call. You know, whoever's going to answer the phone at the particular Christian Counseling Center is going to help you with that. And, you know, everyone is rooting for you to come in and have a good experience.
Yeah, I love that you said that. So if they have some questions, they'll actually help them figure out those
we
answers.
We expect people to have questions. When you're doing something new, you're not supposed to know how it works.
Yeah.
The people who know are supposed to help you.
That's great. Yeah, one of the things that I felt benefited me by seeing a Christian counselor is I have friends and I have people that I can talk to, but besides the expertise that they've studied and can know what's going on in the brain, one of the biggest benefits that I had is that at times I feel guilty dumping my problems on, like, my wife. I feel bad, like, telling her about the issues or the problems that are going on, and I don't want her carrying around these burdens. And so one of the things that benefited me is I love seeing a counselor because I was like, you get paid to handle my problems. I don't feel bad at all.
Absolutely.
I'm going to dump it
absolutely.
All.
Absolutely. Bring it.
That's great. So what would you say to someone who has had a bad experience with counseling? Because there isn't one size fits all, and some people do. They go, you know, a few times and it doesn't work out. So what would you say for someone who's had a bad experience with counseling?
Yeah, so like you're saying, one size doesn't fit all. And so if you had an experience with a counselor and it just wasn't very helpful for you or it wasn't a good fit, then, you know, I love your stick it in for three idea that, you know, and we say that all the time as counselors. Let's give it three times. And if you don't have a good experience or you feel like something's not working, let's try referring you to someone else. But just, I encourage everyone to be cautious because just like maybe you didn't like the first mechanic you ever took your 94 Civic to, you know, but you found a mechanic that does well for the issues that your particular car has. Counselor fit is important, and every counselor that you see really ought to be dedicated to making sure you find a good fit, whether it's with them or with somebody else.
Yeah, that's great. And we have some information at a table right outside this door about Genesis counseling specifically. But if it's not a right fit for you, we can help refer and help you find a right place. But thank you. Would you help me thank Shelby so much for
being
here?
Thank you for letting me be here.
Yeah, Appreciate it. But wait, there's more. So in thinking through this, I wanted you guys to experience and meet someone that was a Christian counselor, really the hope of helping you not feel afraid to go see someone. But I was thinking through that there's a chance that someone would say, well, yeah, that doesn't really help. Like, I'm great that the pastor's been to counseling, and that's great there's a counselor up here. But, like, how could it really benefit me? And so I invited a couple who has experienced some great growth by seeing a counselor, and I want to welcome them to the stage. You help me welcome Tabitha and Andrew to the stage today. Thank you guys for being here. Tabitha is on staff with us, and Andrew is one of our owners. He leads the running group on Monday nights. And yeah, that's a spiritual gift of running. I don't have that. So I know you guys, and I've known you for a while, but not everyone else does. So tell us a little bit about your history with counseling.
So my history started pretty early. like Rob was mentioning about his daughter, I had anxiety issues at a younger age. And fortunately, my parents seeked out help as well. And so I started seeing a counselor when I was around 12 for the first time, just dealing with those anxiety issues, working through those. And then having that background of seeing how it helped me, I would see one when I transitioned through life stages. For example, going to college, I transitioned through that period and saw a counselor there. And most recently, through a divorce, I've seen a counselor, and so I've had a, I'll say, successful pattern of seeking help and seeing a counselor.
Yeah. And what about you, Tabitha?
For myself, I had never gone to counseling ever, just the way of growing up. But through my life and just certain things that have happened and, you know, toxic relationships or friendships or, you know, regardless of the bad stuff that I've gone through, I just never, you know, sought help for it until I met Andrew. And, you know, he told me that, you know, he goes to counseling. It's really helped him. And so, you know, after the death of my brother, went through a really, really hard time. And so that's when I made my first counseling appointment. And it was very, very emotional. And an hour went by and a lot of emotions were said. I don't even remember mostly what happened in that one. Yeah. A box of Kleenex later. So, yeah.
Sure. Sure. So, Andrew, since you experienced counseling even from a younger age, this question may be more for Tabitha. What were your fears going to see a counselor for the first time?
So growing up in my family, I didn't know anybody who went to counseling. It was never spoke of. You know, we went to church, but mainly it was if you need to seek counseling, you pray, go to God, go to church. Kind of, I think, in my family, it was kind of thought of as weak if maybe you sought help. So for me, the fear of it was basically, I felt the fear of being judged with, you know, some of the choices I've made in my life. I'm not proud of all of them. The toxic things in my family, I'm not proud of those. So, you know, telling a stranger that, even though it is a stranger at that point, I don't like people judging me. I don't want people to dislike. I don't like conflict, you know, those things. So to tell somebody these secrets that you don't really necessarily tell everybody, you know, I just didn't want them to, oh, wow, that girl's really messed up. So, yeah.
Yeah, so it's interesting that even through some tragic things like the death of your brother, those problems didn't lead you to see a counselor. There still was this fear. And so if you could go back in time and give yourself advice, what would you tell yourself about counseling?
I would tell myself to go seek it way sooner. I wish that I had started counseling, not in my childhood, at least in my 20s, you know, just from childhood trauma or things, and then even maybe in my early 30s at least. But I've done it for going on 2 years or a year and a half, and just the amount of growth I've had in that time and you know, finding things within myself that I've not been proud of, you know, the way I react, the toxic things that I bring into relationships, whether it's friendship, family, or relation, you know, couple, I've started to see that these are things I don't like about myself or what triggers them and how I can respond. And so I would say, please go seek it way sooner. Like, yeah. You know.
Yeah. What about you, Andrew? What would you say if you go back in time?
For me personally, seeing counselors at different stages of my life, sometimes it would take me a while to feel comfortable and open up. And in hindsight, recently, I'll say when I really just went all in and was not afraid to be honest and just with the counselor and get over the whole lack of judgment. And if I say this, you know, they're going to judge me. When I really got over that is when I've seen a lot of growth here recently, I'll say exponentially. So, you know, the advice I would give to myself and others is, you know, just go all in and don't be afraid. And because the more you put into it, the more you get out of it.
Yeah, that's good. And one thing you said about this question in the 8 a.m. was that the quicker you tell the truth, the quicker you find freedom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was. Yeah, absolutely. So the faster, and again, it took me a while, but the faster I was or quicker I was being able to be honest with myself and then honest to the counselor is when I really saw a lot of growth.
Yeah, that's great. So you guys are dating.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. And how has seeing a counselor helped benefit your relationship with each other?
Wait, you want to go? So Andrew and I are complete opposites. Like, you could not get more, I think, opposite. I'm very extroverted, as a lot of you guys know. He's opposite. And so one of the things that we struggled with was communication. At least that was one of the biggest things. I'm a care, and he's a candor. And so, but also when, you know, he can sometimes be, when he says something, I always say, like, honesty without tact is cruelty. So, like, sometimes it would come across cruel to me, like, he's being so brutally honest, but he's just getting to the point where I kind of, like, go around the point, just, you know, step. So he'll say something, and I hear it completely different, or I'll say something, he hears it completely different, and it took for someone to sit in a room with us and say, well, you know, listen, you're not, you know, you need to really listen. It's, I think y'all are saying the same thing, you're just saying it in different ways. So that is, like, communication was probably one of our biggest struggles, and it's truly, like, it's working on it, it's going a whole lot better.
So I agree with what she said, but also I would say that, you know, as we get healthier as individuals, it has also helped our relationship together. And as we, you know, learn and grow as individuals.
Because it's 2 years this month.
Yeah. Whoop, whoop. Yeah. Well, one of the things that made me think about you guys is because I've been friends with you, I got to see the full range of the relationship, where it started off and the honeymoon phase was great, mm-hmm. and you guys had an amazing start of your relationship. But then at some point, the honeymoon phase started to end, and I experienced when it ended, we had an owner's rally at church, and we brought in a magician, and he started talking to you guys, and he said, are you guys married? And one of you yelled out, no!
That was me. I also was thinking that I thought, maybe the magician will make him disappear.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Because at that point, there was some drama
yes. And
some things. But what I love is that you guys not only sought counseling, but you're applying what you're learning. And that takes courage to apply what you're learning. So I applaud you guys. Thank you guys so much for being here.
We
hope you thank them.
Thank you.
So today's win, the win is what we do with all this. Don't wait for a level 10 problem to seek help with your family. Don't wait. And I know, for some of us, it doesn't matter who we brought up here. There's still this just fear of, like, I don't want to admit that I have problems. But there are people out there who have trained their whole life to learn how to help us fix our problems. So the same way with a car, we need to find people. We need to be honest with it. But I'm a big fan of Christian counseling because I want someone to connect the heart, connect the soul with what's going on in my mind. So don't wait for a level 10 problem. Seek help with your family because we need some really healthy, functioning families. Will you pray with me? God, we come before you and we just thank you that you're a God of second, third, fourth, a million chances. We thank you that you're a God that helps us to learn, to grow. We thank you that you've connected us with people and resources that can help us in our greatest problems. God, right now, we just ask that you would give us the courage to admit that we've got some dysfunction and the courage to seek some help from someone who can help us draw up what these feelings and these emotions really mean. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.